Look out, everybody, because the goose is on the loose. I'm migrating through the web, and then I'm bringing y'all the truth. I'm really not a rapper, but I wrote for y'all this rhyme. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Bruce the Goose, and this is NFT time.
Hello, can you hear me? Not hearing anything.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I heard something.
Hello? Let's see if I can
Hey.
Change settings. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, now I can. And then you could hear me?
Yep. Yeah, I had the window like minimized, I guess. That didn't register that I was talking.
Okay, cool. Cool. So yeah, I guess this seems pretty convenient. I actually somehow remember Anchor FM from ages ago. I guess they must have pivoted to do podcasts. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. They're really awesome if you're doing podcasts. It's totally free. They push your podcast to like 8 different platforms.
Very cool.
Yes, sorry, haven't done one of these in a while, so kind of still getting back into it. I know what Wild Cards is, but for our very few listeners, if you want to give a short overview of your project.
Cool. So Wild Cards is a fun and engaging platform. I need to turn off notifications. That'll be that thing. An engaging platform to raise funds for wildlife conservation at its core. And we do this connecting users from all over the world who are passionate about wildlife conservation directly to organizations. And because it's on the internet natively using Ethereum, these users can be anywhere in the world. And these organizers can be anywhere in the world, and it's really great to connect organizations that are in sort of developing countries where money really goes a lot further with people in developed countries like America or Europe, where you know there's a month isn't so much of a problem, but it really does make difference. The thing that makes it fun and engaging is we try and gamify as much as we can. So we think that the traditional donation model is really boring. And
it is pretty boring.
I mean, fulfilling in its own way, but we think there's a lot to improve on. So basically,
it's just a good route forward. And
yeah.
Everything. Gamify it. If it's not gamified, get it out of here. If I can't
yeah,
feel
no,
like
100%.
I
so,
something or I accomplish something, like I ain't doing it. Like I
yeah, so
UG bot in my Discord, just like I got bored. Like oh well,
yeah, totally.
Whole RPG in here gives me a reason to come engage with these people.
Yeah. No, that's really cool.
Okay, I'll see what you guys are chatting about. I gotta turn in my quests anyway.
Yeah. So I feel like people these days have shorter attention spans because there's so many things trying to grab their attention. So I don't really see isn't gamified really making a difference. And obviously there's a lot of challenges with that, and it's not clear cut how to gamify it. You can gamify it badly or well. So that's a lot of the stuff we're experimenting with. We are a very new platform. So, but ultimately, really, what we're trying to build is the next like global wildlife organization that really makes a difference. We've already connected 20 wildlife organizations to people, and we super young. So, you know, we'd want hundreds soon, and we'd want to build it in a way that's sustainable for, you know, hundreds of years. You know, we want to build something that'll last, and we doing that mostly via Ethereum, you know, so the system can run by itself and be governed by its users. That's the end goal. Long way to go, yep. Though, of course.
Yeah. What inspired you guys to build it?
Yeah, so the idea came out of a hackathon that we did in Cape Town. So I was working at another startup. So yeah, for context, I'm a software engineer. I spend most of my time building things. I find it really fun. And yeah, most of my building things on Ethereum. So I've been building on Ethereum basically since beginning of 2018. I would say. I came back to South Africa. So I'm South African, but I was living in Europe at the time, and met up with some university friends that also studied computer science with me, and they were actually new to Ethereum. Not new. They hadn't really built things with Ethereum at that time, and we hackathon came up with the idea of wild cards very last minute for hackathon standards. At the beginning of the hackathon, we actually had no idea. There was an idea floating around for another app to fund students who couldn't fund their study stuff. Then we wanted to build which, you know, typical idea, what else to build. someone brought up this is always for sale. I'll give a summary of that, but that was actually built by another South African that I know, a really great guy called Simon Delarouvier. And we basically forked his code, which was all open source, and very, very rapidly were able to initial prototype. Exciting. And then we won the hackathon. And I guess at that time, I really was looking for something built that was exciting. And the idea just stuck in that there's big improvements to make in donations and how, you know, organizations can connect with people who care about the cause, you know. And so that's the start. And the two friends that I hacked with are now my co-founders. And we're doing all sorts of projects together. So outside of Wildcards, it's just one of our projects. I mentioned this artwork. Should I go on that tangent?
Yeah, go ahead. I read it.
So you can actually visit thisartworkisalwaysforsale.com. And that's the first Harberger Tax artwork that has, that ever existed, I think. And the artwork is extremely simple. It's just an image with a barcode and the text, this artwork is always for sale. And quite literally, the artwork stops being on sale. It cannot stop being on. And that's what, I mean, this is fascinating. It's something that's only really possible with blockchain. You can't even build this with the sort of traditional financial system. So let's break it down. What mean to always be on sale? It means it always has a price. So there's always a value stored in the smart contract saying, if you give the smart smart contract, this amount of money, it'll give you the artwork and give that money to the previous owner, right? So that's cool, but there needs to be a mechanism to prevent the current owner from setting the price to like $1 billion, right? You know, that then it wouldn't really be for sale, or maybe not $1 billion, maybe $1 trillion. You know, they could set the price so high that no one would ever buy it, so that it's not really for sale. And the way the mechanism prevents this is you have to pay a fee on the price you set, and that's a percentage. So for this artwork is always for sale, and the fee was 5% per year. So if you set the price to $100, you have to pay $5 over a year. If you set the price to $1 million, then you have to, let's get the maths right, you have to pay $50,000. Yeah, you have to pay $50,000 a year to hold it. So basically, like the amount you have to pay to hold this this artwork depends on the price you set, which is really clever because it's it's a very unique combination between an auction mechanism and renting. So when you're renting some, or maybe not renting, a subscription. So when you subscribe to something, you have to continuously pay for that. So it's the same with the artwork. When you hold the artwork, you are committing to continually pay that like upkeep. In the case of this artwork is always for sale directly to Simon, who was the artist who created that. And then it's an auction because like auction mechanisms are about trying to find a price, right? That's the definition of an auction mechanism. And this mechanism, we call it Harberger tax, is a mechanism to find the price. So yeah, it's quite elegant, a little bit of a mind bender when you first hear about it. But I mean, I do hope that becomes more normal and accessible to more people.
There's a very interesting concept. Especially with the way digital art and like other NFTs are blowing up right now. Like if that was just easily accessible, mm-hmm. you'd be like, oh, I want to put this as always for sale and I always get this percent. Like that could be FOMO would just bunch of people with a bunch of money would be like, no, it's mine now.
Yeah. So, it's quite interesting. So like Simon actually released an upgrade to his artwork. There was some very edge case bugs, but basically that didn't prevent it from always being on sale, but there could be if a malicious actor were to exploit them. So he decided to launch a new one, and I was really watching the price of it. And the price starts at zero, right? So there's like a scramble to be the first one to, which is really interesting. So if you get in early and you're able to purchase it early, then you can basically get it for zero or very cheap and set the price high. But if you set the price too high, then you pay too much to hold it and no one buys it from you and you actually don't make money. So it's really interesting from a sort of speculative point of view. And I mean, it's been interesting to watch it balance out. So sure, someone bought it and set the price too high, hoping that someone else would buy it from him. You know, I don't think the person it 100% just to support Simon or to own the artwork. You could see that there was speculation there. And they definitely made the wrong decision because about a week later that I saw them reduce the price by half. So, you know, it's fascinating. And there's various things that I think can be tweaked. So, for example, maybe starting with the price of zero isn't correct. Maybe there should be an initial auction. But then there's questions about where the money should go, or, you know, it's still very experimental and sort of undefined. Very greenfield work, which is why it's so exciting.
Yeah, it is. It's very it's an incredible space to be in right now. That is for sure. The whole thing, but I mean, I think COVID is going to be our route to mainstream adoption. It was my route into the rabbit hole in the first place.
Okay.
I read a few months back that, like, during the whole, like, global economic shutdown, there was two industries in the world that were, like, increased in production and, like, revenue and shit. And that was blockchain and porn.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, I agree with you that this will go mainstream. I'm just not sure how long it'll take. I mean, as a developer, I've spent a lot of time building wildcards. But even to this, like, yeah, even today, I wouldn't confidently be able to explain how let's say my parents. I definitely wouldn't be able to explain easily to my parents how to get Ether, how to make a wallet, how to back up the seed phrases, how to do this and this, to buy a wild card. You know, so there's a lot of steps needed. Which is fun. I mean, this is why I'm here, to build this. Like, I'm 100% convinced that it is the future. It's the future of the financial system. It's the future of more than that. I think it's the future of governance. How do you govern money and groups of people? And of course, you being more on the art side, it's the future of art, I believe, too. So,
I think
it's just making it easy.
The future of gaming. Like, that's going to be our quickest route to mainstream adoption. People are going to wake up and be like, wait a minute. Instead of paying them $20 a month, I can get paid to play this? And I actually own my things?
Yeah.
I was trying to get that concept across to somebody that, like, my old art crew that, like, it turned into, we played a bunch of games together for, like, a number of years, you know what I mean? Like, I pretty much stopped gaming. Just because, like, I was working all the time and I just didn't have it in me to come home and dedicate hours at a time to a game. And then, like, after that, I'm just so deep in the rabbit hole all the time, just exploring everything and trying to experience it all. Like, I just don't have time now. But I played League of Kingdoms a little bit, which is fairly idle. It's kind of grindy, but it's also, like, you don't got to pay a lot of attention to it. And, like, the entire game world is owned by the players. And, like,
very cool.
I don't even know where the hell my two land parcels are. But what I do know is that because people are gathering resources from my land parcels, I get a percent of all those resources. And I get it generates DAI based on the game's overall revenue and, like, their, however they split that up. But, like, the more developed or utilized my land is, the more DAI I generate passively when I've never even been to my own land. I just happen to own it.
Yeah. No, that's amazing. And I don't think we've seen the sort of right recipe for that to really take off. Like I'm saying, the whole mainstream thing, it's difficult for me to predict when that'll really come. But, you know, when you do have that happening, where people are fairly earning revenue off the game, then they incentivize to form groups and committees to improve the game, right? And that's really powerful. All of a sudden, you don't need a big centralized company to improve the game. You've got the players of the game themselves wanting to improve the game and having a means to do that with the open source code or whatever other mechanism the game allows. So, yeah, totally agree. I think gaming is a way.
And like, art's getting huge too. I mean, it's just a very exciting space right now. Like, I keep telling people, like, it's like the few people that I like regularly talk to that like aren't in, like, don't have any crypto knowledge whatsoever. And like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I'm like, think of it like the Wild West and the 40s gold rush, but on the internet.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's just rushing every which way to try and stake their claim and get their million, you know, like, and for a lot of it isn't even so much about how can I make the most money off of this. It's like, oh, this is awesome. Let's do it. And like, I see so many like teams from other projects. Like, I mean, I'm in 100 Discords and there's a good dozen or two people are probably in damn near all of them with me. And we're all just being involved in everything.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. So I guess there's something, Matt, I mean, maybe you've seen all of the explosion of personal tokens. I'm to be honest, the personal tokens I've seen aren't right. I don't really like their models and everything. So I'm not a fan of personal tokens really, but it's like you were saying, it's like a gold rush. It's really interesting that we kind of in a phase where anyone can make their own money, their own tokens, their own whatever.
And a lot of it's basically just perceived value. You know what I mean? Like, for me, I like having actually. Like, one of them is actually backed by value. It's issued on a bonding curve. So like, you're not getting any unless you put ETH in the collateral pool.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then only the address that issued the bonding curve contract can claim the full value of it out of the collateral pool. Anybody else can sell it back.
That makes sense.
But even then, that could be profitable.
Criticism. Yeah. It's speculation on that.
And over the course of the next 2 weeks, 10 more people buy it. That first person that bought it, that 50% is still up for them from what they bought it at.
Yeah. No, 100%. Let me clarify my sort of skepticism on it in its current iteration.
You got the right person. Most people like, don't really 80,000 followers on Instagram. I'm going to get 10,000 of them to trust me enough to provide some liquidity so I can pump and dump.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like, what do these tokens even represent? A lot of the say it represents their time. It's like, one token means you can buy, like, if you give them, they'll give you like 15 minutes of their time to help you or whatever. And like, yeah, maybe that sounds, but then you think about it. Why is there a market cap? Why is there a total supply of like a million of these coins? Do they have like a million 15 minutes? Like, how does, it just doesn't really connect. And I think that's the problem. Like, what those tokens represent isn't well defined yet, which is difficult.
At least with the Roll platform, like, I mean, it's a great idea, you know, it cuts out the legal bullshit for people wanting to like launch. Mm-hmm. It's basically like, I mean, I think of it as like a rewards program, you know what I mean? Like, you follow me on Twitter and you see my obscene amount of tweeting enough to like, or you're in my Discord enough to like get a decent amount of feathers, then like you can go to my shop on OpenSea where I have it listed and like you can buy my art.
Cool. Yeah, it makes sense. And what is your opinion on sort of supply and demand in these sort of new emerging art markets? I ask because it's something I'm curious about, and you are more sort of in with that crowd. Do you think there's going to be an imbalance? So for artists, for sure, there's
I think there's going to be
a lot of interest, but are there enough new buyers?
Very soon, there's going to be a like okay, this is the side I'm taking. You know what I mean? Like, and it's not really so much lack of new buyers. Like, the market is huge. People are buying a ton of art. The issue is that it's no fucking different than the barriers to entering the traditional art world. Like, yeah, I can go on Rarible and I can mint whatever the hell I want all damn day. But I've applied for Super Rare, I think, 3 times now. And every time it's like, oh, we're accepting like 2 or 3% of applications. Like, why? Like, you are perfectly aware that you're turning down 97 out of 100 artists. And that in doing so, you are knowingly preventing them from selling their work on the most, like, the go-to platform for serious collectors. Like, I'm lucky if I sell a piece for like a quarter of an ETH and people on Super Rare are like, here's this piece, just listed it on Super Rare. An hour later, they're like, thanks for the buy, 8.5 ETH. Like, cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sure. Like, this guy can sell a white square. Supposedly, it was a transparent pixel. Prove that. But that was $15,000. That was a few weeks ago before the bull run. So now that's like 23K, something like that.
Yeah. The other thing that I find super interesting, and Black Canvas. I always am aware.
I'm super rare.
Yeah, sure.
I guess like he's like, he's a big name in the space, like as an artist, but like I couldn't get away with that shit. Regardless of who I am, like, I mean, my fingers aren't everything, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
People, at the very least, like, they've seen my name or heard me ramble on about some shit before. I'm like, people never buy my fucking art. If they do, it's for chump change. Sure as hell not making $15,000 off of white squares. And that's because that's I'm not on Super Rare. And I'm never getting on now because I've talked a lot of shit on Twitter. Well, I feel like it's less so talking shit and more so me fucking saying what everybody feels and nobody wants to say. Because at this point, I'm doing shit. Don't let me in. Whatever. Fucking 6 months from now, you're going to be come asking me to fucking get on your platform. And I'm going to be like, nah, sorry. I'll let you know in a few weeks, but I'm only accepting like 2% of weekly invitations.
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
But I mean, like, the whole NFT market is like slowed to a crawl because of this freaking gas thing. Like,
yeah,
$12.
It's a big problem.
I'm probably not going to sell. Like, I'll pay $2 and not feel so bad if it doesn't sell, but $12, like, I'll just wait.
Yeah, I'd be happy to give my opinion on that. I think.
Yeah, I was going to ask how you guys are feeling about that, but I guess it's a little bit different because you're like, you got the always for sale thing. It's more high value transaction.
Yeah, I mean, it's still expensive. It's still expensive. A concrete example. So you actually have an artwork on, you actually are the only artist on Wildcards at the moment. So congratulations, firstly.
Yeah, perfectly reasonable. That's a reason to buy my art, but nobody does.
We just upgraded the contracts yesterday, and it's been a lull in the gas prices, so it was much cheaper than it would have been. Upgrade cost us $170 in total. So there were a few transactions involved, and we had to create a brand new contract. So that was the most expensive part. About $100 for that contract. It's quite a big contract. Firstly, that's pretty prohibitive. We do have some investor money and stuff like that, but in terms of making it profitable, it's very difficult when you've got prices like that. And then for users, you know, if our pitch is to tell our friends and not only our friends, anyone, hey, like, contribute $5 a month or $10 a month, but do the transaction, it will cost you $5. That's just ridiculous, right? No one will do that. So we've been thinking really hard about this. Firstly, I think it's amazing that the gas prices are going that high, just in like, wow, Ethereum's actually being successful. So that's the optimistic way of looking at it. But also, you know, Ethereum isn't the platform, in my eyes at least, to be doing activity. You know, if you know, Ethereum is the base layer, it's the center of all of the stuff that's happening. It's the center of DeFi, it's the final settlement layer, it's a source of truth, right? And you know, Ethereum is able to settle many millions of dollars in less than a minute, and do it very securely, right? And that's why it's powerful. That's why it's you know, that's why people aren't using EOS or one of these other like so-called ETH killers or whatever. It's because they don't have the economic bandwidth that Ethereum, right?
Right.
So if you're building a game, right? So we were speaking about games earlier. You don't need to settle $1 billion in a few minutes, right? You might need to settle $5 every few seconds, you know, if players are sending $5 to each other, maybe $100, you know, but it doesn't need to be many thousands, right? So that's where all these layer twos and scaling solutions come in. Because, okay, let's sort of two categories. There's side chains, and then there's so layer twos aim to have the same security as ETH, and that's awesome. I wish all the teams that are doing that the best of luck. But in general, today most of them are more limited. If you want to do something with smart contracts or more advanced use cases, it's difficult. So that's where side chains come in, and side chains basically allow you to send messages from mainnet to the side chain and from the side chain back to mainnet. And it loses some security there, right? So you're not going to be sending $1 million to the sidechain and back. That's probably unsafe, right? Or maybe it is safe, but it's much less safe than sending $10, right? So for applications where you want to send really small transactions, you know, microtransactions, games, whatever, It makes sense not to do that on mainnet. You don't need mainnet. You don't need to settle $1 million. You don't need the security. You don't need the decentralization. So that's the direction Wildcards is going to go. We've started looking at all the possibilities, and very likely we'll use Matic Network. I don't know if you've heard of Matic.
Yep.
But yeah, I think, you know, don't be angry at Ethereum. Ethereum's doing its thing really well. Amazing. It's
I'm angry at COVID.
Okay, so we totally agree.
No, yeah, I'm definitely not mad.
Also with ETH 2, with ETH 2, you know, it will obviously reduce the cost of transactions temporarily until another 5 billion people start using Ethereum, you know, and then the gas prices will go up again. So these solutions with sidechains, etc., like, they're necessary even with ETH2. So yeah, that's the kind of myth to dispel. We still need this technology even when ETH2 comes.
Right. Have you seen much about the Near protocol?
Yeah, I have. It seems really interesting. To be honest, I haven't looked into it deeply enough. Near sounds super interesting. The others that I've looked at are POA Network and XDAI. They're basically the same thing, just with different tokens as the main token. They are great because they're well established. They've the documentation is good, and they've been around for like 2 years already, which 2 years is a long track record in Ethereum time. So they like the grandpas of the space, definitely well trusted. Everything else is new and probably more risky. One of our motivations to use Matic is they've got a grants program, so they're allocating $50,000 to projects that are accepted in their grants program every month, which might whittle to very little when there's lots of projects, but at the moment it's definitely worthwhile there. I think with Near, I do know they have the ability to interpret Solidity, which is programming language most people use for Ethereum. So Near is a possibility, but I've kind of stuck with the chains so far that are more close to Ethereum. So Matic is like 100% Ethereum compatible, which is that's great. It means I don't have to rewrite the code, and there's a lot of stuff available.
That's what Near's saying they're pushing out with the launch of the mainnet. Oh, I mean, the mainnet's live. It's just in validator only mode to like build the chain or whatever. Mm-hmm. I've been watching them for months, but I guess Flux Protocol and Near, who like, Flux Protocol was like in the accelerator mm-hmm. program from Near and the Open Web Collective, which it's kind of cool to see like that. I can't think of the word, but like immediately they're like, oh, hey, thanks for helping us out. Now we're going to do this for you. But I guess they're like between Near and Flux, they're building like a straight up rainbow or an ETH Near bridge. And then that's being integrated with a bunch of networks. So, like, you can create, in my case anyway, for, like, NFTs, like, I can create, secure, send NFTs on the Near network and pay basically no gas because it's a chartered network. And then they're 100% natively compatible with ETH.
Yep. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Like I have to acknowledge that it'll be less secure on, like, theoretically than ETH, right? But that's totally fine for NFTs, you know, like, it's totally secure enough. It's just not as secure, you know? I'm very bullish on those layer twos. The difficulty really I see is that, the sort of user interface and user experience side of things isn't well developed. So, if you've got some NFT Near protocol, some on Matic, some on XDAI, and then some on mainnet Ethereum, there isn't currently an easy way to like use all of them at once, move them between them without a lot of effort. That's something we have to build as an ecosystem. Otherwise, it won't work. But 100%. I would recommend minting your NFTs on something like that. Once again, the security is less, but not enough less that it's a problem.
Right, you know, I'm not really at the point of like trying to build. We don't need another minting platform on ETH at this point. I have not had funding or a developer to work on it. So like, I just moved on. You know what I mean? I figured, you know, like maybe I'll just make set up this website as like, which I may still do, just like as a resource portal to all things NFT. But like, I make a little bit of money on my art here and there, but that's because like instead of just being on Ethereum where I got to fucking try and get visibility against Super Rare, like I now have art on Hive. They just very recently launched an NFT dApp. Wax just recently got on Zilliqa. And then I could be on EOS, but I just don't care that much about EOS. I don't know why. It didn't appeal to me when they got me into the beta, and then like now it's like open.
EOS is one of the most like corrupt blockchains in terms of block producers, and I totally echo that sentiment. It's very from the inside. unfortunately.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of, I guess you call it controversies, like mixed feelings about EOS. And it's like, I've not seen this anywhere in blockchain. Never, like, it's always described as, oh, it's an open source protocol for this and this and this. And it's like, for enterprise or for industry or whatever the hell. And it's like, okay, well, that's not applicable to me. And then, like, you look at EOS and it's like, well, here's the thing. It's like, well, I don't know about this. Yeah, I think I'm at work on 5 chains right now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I do believe EOS was successful. If they didn't try and fight Ethereum, but rather try to integrate in some way, I do believe that. But anyway.
Yeah, I guess there's NFTs on Neo as well.
Okay, that makes sense.
I really don't follow these other chains. But like my brain is just on like cross-chain frameworks and shit. And like I was just blockchain cuties is like it's crypto kitties level 2. You know what I mean? There's more than just kitties, and they do stuff. But like their dApp runs on Tron, Wax, Hive, or Tron. I don't know, like 4 networks. They just added Matic to that actually.
Yeah, interesting. So I guess the reason the reason I'm more bullish on these new chains, like Nia could be that chain, but there's a sort of escape hatch, right? Whereas with EOS, you know, if EOS goes bad or whatever happens that makes me not want to be on EOS, there's no escaping EOS. You're like trapped in EOS. Whereas with Matic, if anything doesn't quite work out, you can move those assets back to Ethereum, which in my mind is a huge distinction.
Right. Yeah, I haven't done the technical deep dives because I am a no coder, but like the best possible approach, at least for new projects that aren't already built on Ethereum, is to like just start by looking at a cross-chain framework. Because there's so many options out there for different chains right now. And there are a bunch of different interoperability protocols. And like the gas thing is just fucking with everybody, except the whales, they don't care. It's $12 to them, they got that all day.
Well, yeah. Well, they earn more than that in interest, and whatever else they earn. So, 100%.
Oh man, I wish I would have jumped down the DeFi rabbit hole sooner. It's like
DeFi.
On the topic of personal tokens, you've probably seen Whale Shark around at some point, either on Twitter, or like somewhere.
Yeah, you can tell me about that because I haven't looked into it.
Biggest collector of NFTs and digital art in the whole ecosystem right now. I think in the past 2 years, he spent something like $2.5 million on NFTs.
Wow.
And now
that's crazy.
The vast majority of that has stopped being his personal collection and is like owned through essentially a DAO, which is still in the setting up stages of how exactly the governance and all that's going to work. But basically, I mean, he'll tell you straight out, like, the vault, which is a new account created to hold close to $2 million worth of NFTs. And that's me thinking from ETH's $200 standpoint. So probably closer to $4 million worth of NFTs now. That's all owned by the community of people that are, like, contributing and holding whale coins. Or whale token, whatever it's called. And in the course of the past 2 weeks, he got us on the FOMO. He's like, if you're holding at least 500 whale in your wallet, then you can have access to like this exclusive rank in the Discord, which also opens up a channel where it's like you get more like personal access to me and like what we're doing with this project. Because if you listen to him talk about it, like he's really passionate about it. It's really awesome. Like he's like, this is what we're doing. You know, he's like, I might be footing the bill, but this is for the community, not me. He's like, like the way he said it is, I've got plenty of money. I've bought and sold businesses for the last half of my life. He's like, I'm trying to do something for somebody else and like a community I care about and find value in.
Is he pseudo anonymous? Do people know who he is in real life?
With the launch of Whalecoin, like the people that have like the main people at Roll and like the primary partners for the project and like the auditors and stuff have verified who he is, like his financial records, etc. But he does his best to say pseudo anonymous. But like the information that's necessary to like back up his claims is available.
And is he a developer? What's his background?
He's a serial entrepreneur. Like he's been building, selling businesses mm-hmm. his entire life. Most of it anyway.
Wow. No, that's super impressive.
Yeah, and,
you should get him to buy a wild card.
Yeah, that's why I did the whale. It was literally like right around the launch of the whale token. I was like, oh, I got to do the whale. Got to do it.
Oh, I see. Okay, cool.
In the past couple weeks, I think it's been a couple weeks. I don't know. I'm trying to adjust my body to Hong Kong time. So, like, I'm around when he's active in the Discord doing airdrops and shit. So, I mean, I've been bullish on Whale since day one. I've been a crypto art partner since 2 weeks prior to its public, like, official announcement. But, I mean, a couple months ago, I put, like, $40 worth of liquidity into a liquidity pool on Uniswap. Just cause, like, why not, you know? Like, I'm confident in this project. I don't know anything about friggin' yield farming or anything, but I guess this might earn me some interest. And, like, I've got, like, 400% ROI on that right now. Because over the course of the past 2 weeks, we have, like, built a massive liquidity pool. I think it's sitting at, like, 130 Ethereum in liquidity and matched in Whale. And we've gone from 25 cents a couple weeks ago to we're trying to push $3 right now.
Wow. No, that's that's really impressive.
Yeah, so my cool, I have $100 of 500 whale to buy into the like whales club, which because that's what at the start of it is 20, 25 cents still. I was like, oh, I have that actually. Like, let me just jump right in here. And now in this time since it's like, because you still got to pay, you got to have 500 to get in. Like, it doesn't cost you that, but you have to verify that it's in your wallet. Mm-hmm. You have to hold it to stay there. And now that's close to $1,500 to get in.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I mean, that's the beauty of scarcity,
then,
I guess.
And then today, scary
part two.
He, like, quote unquote, like, officially announced it. Like, those of us in the whale whales rank, like, we've known about it for a week. But, like, you finally got the tokenomics and shit situated with it. And, like, you just set up liquidity mining, like, incentivized liquidity mining. Like, if you have at least 500 US dollars in the liquidity pool, then like every account. So at the end of every month, every account that has at least 500 US dollars in the liquidity pool gets whatever percent of the liquidity pool they have worth of 5,000 whales. And like, right, that's close to 15 grand right now, split up between there's 27 accounts. So people made some money just for holding on to some money. And that's fucking awesome. Like, he doesn't have to do that.
That is cool.
He's just fucking handing out money.
That's how the world has worked, but it's mostly only been accessible to the ultra rich. I guess that's
anybody who's willing to like you don't even got to buy any whale to start. Like, you just come hang out in the Discord and not be a leech. You know what I mean? Like, make an active contribution, be part of the community, and like you earn airdrops and tips and shit like that. And not only that, he's propagating the entire NFT space with it. Like, I think the project I'm on right now, just because it just happened, and then like it was too much. There's too much acceptance of it to stop. So like a couple months ago, or a month and a half ago, whatever it's been, we did the first Pride Parade in the Metaverse during Global Pride Weekend.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and like that was huge. Like, it was all over Twitter for like a week. The entire Bronx Island in CryptoVoxels got decked out in rainbows. And it was like, all right, we gotta do more with this. Like, it's kind of an insult to everybody at this point to be like, all right, see you next year. So now, like,
yeah,
amazing. I'm still working out, like, getting the like chain of command and stuff in place because I'm trying to dialify it as much as possible. But at the same time, I'm also doing everything. So, like, why should you have like equal say in what goes on when I've fucking done everything? Like, I don't want to be in charge, but if I'm gonna do it all, I'm gonna fucking be in charge. So they also unanimously voted me as CEO. So, but until we actually launch it out, like, I'll pull rank if I have to. Y'all made me the CEO, but I say it goes. I didn't want to be in charge.
So how big is your team? How many people?
Right now, just like 4 or 5. I mean, it's really not, we're not really building anything. We don't have to, you know what I mean? Like, we don't need a dApp. Like, I got to get a website set up, but that's on the roadmap soon. Like, basically, it's just we're trying to foster a, like, accepting, welcoming community where, like, it's like, I mean, the blockchain and cryptocurrency space is mostly male-dominated in general. I mean, that's just finance as a whole, really. But, like, we're trying to build a space where, like, if you're, like, not quote-unquote socio-normative, like, come hang out with us. We'll fucking gladly have you. And we'll fucking support you, what you're doing, and, like, help you find people to work on your project or opportunities that you can take advantage of. And so, like, it's kind of a fork of what I was doing where it's, like, creators deserve, like, proper compensation for what they're doing. And now it's, like, well, I'm an LGBTQ individual, so let me take that passion and put it towards supporting more of my tribe. And we did like a quote, like a semi charity auction during the parade event. Like, we got somebody loaned us 3 parcels, which we have for free for the next year. And so we put up a bunch of art from LGBTQ plus people and allies in the community, and we sold a fair bit of it. A lot of money. I think he started Voxel Architects, and he does the like hover cars and shit like that.
Yeah, I know him.
Well, I know the only one of one hover car he's ever done was the Rainbow Pill for Nifty Pride.
Cool.
And we traded that for a parcel in CV, and we put up the Nifty Pride Center for the Arts. Now we got we just recently brought a curator onto the team. Like, the idea is, you know, like, if you're LGBTQ plus or an ally or just supportive and want to, like, welcome in community and, like, are struggling competing with fucking Super Rare because they don't let anybody in, like, come hang out with us. We'll put your art up in our gallery. I'm starting, like, a blog and, like, I'm going to do a, like, bi-weekly newsletter about, like, here's the artist you should be looking at, like, outside of where you're already looking. Try and, like, promote and support other artists. I just got our grant was just applied or accepted yesterday from Whale Shark. That's 1,000 whale a month. So at the current value, that's $2,500 a month to put towards.
Wow. Happy for you.
Basically done. And
I
think there's 7 or 8 other projects in the NFT space that have those grants. And like part of the grant program, it's mandated that 80% of that grant money is used to reward, engage, and support like the NFT community and like the people at your projects and foster like connection between other projects and shit. And like, that's freaking amazing. Like, who does that? Who's just handing out like $100,000 to be like, here, make shit better.
Yeah. Okay. I need to get more in on this. That would be awesome for wild cards to start connecting. I know, so you're supposed to be interviewing me, but I feel like I'm asking you all the questions now, so I hope you don't mind.
I don't have any kind of script or there's no rhyme or reason to this podcast. It's just, hey, here's what's new and interesting or exciting in the world of non-fungibles.
For sure.
There's so much I was trying to do it every week and be like, this is all the new stuff that you should be excited about this week, and then like it just got out of control. Like, I couldn't possibly cover everything that happened in a week in, like, an hour's time. And now I'm, like, 5 or 6 weeks behind on doing it. I think the last one I recorded was, like, announcing Nifty Pride. I mean, it was already all over Twitter, but I felt like I should do a podcast episode for it.
And that was just for the parade. And
hey,
like now
I've got a question.
Doing a million things.
What's your opinion on Scent? You know, the platform where you
I really liked Scent. I mean, I still do. It's a really good concept, and that's actually what led me into the crypto art space. But ever since the Scent 2.0 upgrade, I feel like I don't see anybody's content unless they're offering me money to engage with it, or I'm already following them. So like, it kind of defeated the purpose in a way.
Interesting.
I mean, it's cool. Yeah. But, same time,
I was thinking of creating a page for wild cards.
I was probably wondering, but a lot of people still very like habitually use Scent.
Mm-hmm.
I just blow up Twitter all day. Does me no goddamn good, but Scent wasn't doing me any good either, really. So, but I'm probably about to make a page for Nifty Pride. But
cool. No,
and
that's
good. That's definitely got legs. Like it's regardless of whether I make any money because I'm not getting paid to work full time on it. Well, at some point, I'm going to be like, all right, well, there's 20% that isn't mandatory to give out. That's my goddamn salary. Like, that $600 a month pays my rent and a couple bills for me doing something I enjoy doing and I'm passionate about.
No, that's amazing. I think developers generally have it easier. I mean, especially if you've got a stable position developing in Ethereum. Money isn't a problem, but it's really great and I guess inspiring to hear that people who are doing other things in the space are starting to really put it into their living. I think that's really inspiring.
I'm like super happy for all the artists that are on Super Rare, like making a comfortable living doing something they love to do. Like that's incredible. And so Super Rare gets props for enabling them. But on the other hand, like 97 out of 100 artists that apply are told, okay, better luck next time. Go fight over the scrap. And then it wouldn't bother me so much if they didn't act like they're like doing so much for the art world. It's like, you're not. you just took the traditional art economy and you put it on the internet. You've done nothing special.
So for you going forward, what do you need to do to be sort of more successful in the space? Do you basically just grow your brand and
I think I just gotta
become better known or
passionate about and, like being exuberantly obnoxious about the things I'm passionate about and how I feel things should be, you know, because a lot of people agree with me. I'm like, if we're going to decentralize things, we need to fucking decentralize it, not the one family of like five people that owns Super Rare makes all the fucking decisions and decides whose art is good enough to be on their platform or not. Like, says who? Like, motherfucker sold a white square. I do better art than white squares. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And like,
that makes
props
sense.
To him. Like, way to go, dude. You just paid my rent for a year off literally selling nothing. Congratulations.
Yeah.
But fuck you, Super Rare, for the fact that nobody else can do that because we're not there.
So I've got another question. They're somewhat selfish. So what do you think wild cards could do to engage our community? So just a little bit of background. Feel like technically wild cards is a great project that works. We have all the problems with gas costs, etc. But, I spend all my time developing, and it's also maybe not my personality to quite as engaged with community as someone like you is. What advice would you give to us to get people more excited about wildcards, to get more engaged community? Do we need to, we do have our loyalty tokens, but do we need to do anything more? Do we,
You guys have a great project, for sure. And like, you got most of the cards like sell and get held, right?
Yeah. Oh, I'm not complaining. Sorry,
saying you were. I just mean like you guys are doing. But yeah, if you wanted like more engagement, like more visibility, I'd say just literally just yell at social media. That's what I do. I just go on there and I post random shit. You know, like,
yeah,
I retweet a bunch of nonsense that's crypto related and looks interesting without reading it. And like, I started my Twitter account in February and I have 1500 followers.
Yeah, that's really cool. Impressive. Yeah. And
very few people ever buy my art out of those 1500 people. But you know, yeah, like, putting my name in front of people, and like, the CEO, like, I work or communicate fairly often and do some work for like the CEO of Grow Your Base. I've worked for the CEO of MeTokens directly. Like, Whale Shark, like, fucking loves me just because I'm doing the whole Pride thing in the metaverse, and that's brand new. And like, he has a whole thing for supporting impoverished people and whatnot. So he just loves me right from that.
Very cool. Do you think Whale Shark likes animals?
I think Whale Shark likes everybody. He's a really cool guy. Talk about he's a businessman, but he's also like very passionate about creativity and like decentralization and like making a positive impact in the world instead of just sitting on a bag of money and smiling.
Another question. I'm turning the interview around. So you pseudo anonymous, right? Like, some people know who you are, but like,
I don't think anybody in the NFT space knows who I am outside of being Bruce the Goose.
Cool. So tell me, why did you choose that? Why did you decide to be pseudo anonymous?
I don't like people very well. Like, I'm surprised. Like, you wouldn't guess it from like the way I am, like, just in the NFT community. Like, I'm very antisocial, or rather selectively social. And like, for ages, like, I was Batman to like everybody online and like at music festivals and stuff, just because like, I like my privacy, you know, and I like to be able to like turn off Bruce the Goose at the end of the day and be me. I mean, I am this passionate about creativity, but I'm, before crypto art and stuff, like, I wasn't this enthusiastic about anything ever. So it's new to me, but like, I don't know. I think a lot of it was like, I don't consider myself very good at art, at least compared to like some of the people that are doing really incredible work. But, I mean, some of my stuff's pretty cool, and like, a lot of it's glorified memes, but I have fun with it. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm enjoying. Like, when I sell it and I had fun with it, that's awesome. Or somebody else, like, even when somebody buys something for $10, you know what I mean? Like, the fact that somebody wanted to own something I created, like, that feels amazing. And like, when I started, it was like, I don't have a lot of confidence in my artistic ability. And people keep telling me a lot of my stuff's great, and like, it's crazy that I do like everything. Like, so I like do art, and occasionally I make music. I don't know if you ever heard the song that I dedicated to Hook.
Yes, I did. Yeah. I did. Listen, yeah, I got your SoundCloud. That was cool. Very cool.
Yeah. So I do that very rarely. It's just when I'm bored and like, I happen to notice that the app's on my phone, and I'm like, oh, let me press some buttons and turn it into music. Just put it on the internet. Don't give a shit what anybody thinks about it. So I can't edit music. Like, it's all raw. That's upload it if I like it and delete it if I don't. Like, so when I decided I was going to try my hand at doing the crypto art thing, I was like, well, if somebody tells me my art sucks, you know, like, that's kind of personal. That makes me feel shitty, and it's probably going to be really discouraging. But if somebody says Bruce the Goose's art sucks, I get to be like, of course it does. He's a freaking goose. Like, geese aren't good at art. I don't care. It's not my name on it. You know what I mean? And like, if things have gone a different direction and I didn't just become like omnipresent and everybody thinks I'm great, at least from what I gather, and I don't like directly interact with people all too often. If people didn't like me or my art or my attitude, I could have been like, all right, see ya. I'm somebody new next week.
That's cool. No, I love that. I'm almost inspired to make my own pseudo identity. Just, you know, I mean, why not? Like, you can. I mean, you don't have to use it. You don't have to get as deep and passionate as you clearly are. But I think all of my online presence.
Name out of a hat, really. Like, for the longest time I was Batman. Yeah. when I like, so I fell into NFTs. Like I saw a trailer for Altaverse from Engine. And I was like, wait a minute, Engine's launching a blockchain? Like I've been, like not really closely, but like I've been aware of Engine for close to 20 years because I've played a lot of Minecraft, and like they were the driving force behind that being the online sensation that it still is. I was like, they're doing what now? An Engine cryptocurrency? Like that's going to be a thing. And then I was like, then I like saw the multiverse framework for their games and shit, and I was like, that is incredible. Let me learn all about this. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to do Let's Plays on YouTube because it was COVID and I had nothing but time. You know what I mean? I was like, and I can't do that as Batman because YouTube will copyright my shit and take away my money or whatever. So I got to be somebody different. I mean, Bruce. I was like, Bruce the Goose. Sweet.
Very cool.
And now I'm like,
so you really are new in, in the space.
I got into crypto in late December. Based on like amazing. I was building a drop shipping business, without going too deep into why, because we're on a family friendly podcast. I spent about a month, maybe more than a month, on the phone every single day, multiple times a day with banks, credit card companies, payment processing centers, et cetera, getting told no, 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 because I was a high risk industry, quote unquote. And so it's like, well, shit, I guess I just like, I can't sell anything on the internet without taking a credit card on the internet. And that was another thing too, like because I'm a high risk industry, which I'm not now, art, but it was, well, if you got 3 months of bank statements and 3 months of sales records, it's like, I'm just trying to get this off the ground. Like I don't have any bank statements and I've not made a sale because I can't take a frigging credit card. No one's going to write me a check and mail it to me and hope when I get it, I fulfill their order. It's not how shopping on the internet works. And it's like, I was at the point of like, all right, I give up because like there's not an option. Like I can't do it. And I was like, wait a minute, maybe Bitcoin will work. And then that led me to cryptocurrency, which somehow led to seeing Engine and then so on and so forth.
And I guess it goes without saying you find Bitcoin very boring now.
But I wouldn't have it any other way. Like I don't think I've actually been truly passionate about something in 90% of my life. Like for as long as I can remember anyway. Even if I'm not making a bunch of money, you know what I mean? Like I've helped like just very recently, one of the artists who I think does incredible work. There's a NFT trading contest going on Zilliqa during their alpha launch or on Mintable during their alpha launch on Zilliqa, where like whatever storefront has the most sales wins $1,000. Yeah. So that's cool. So in my Discord, I was like, hey, I'm in the power seller program in the alpha for Mintable. You know, I'm listed as a power seller, whatever. Like I'm like featured on the top of the page if you go on the marketplace or however that works. I haven't dug too deep into Zilliqa yet. I've put a couple things over there and haven't checked in a bit. But I was like, if you got some art that you haven't published.
Tell me what Zilliqa is. I thought it was blockchain that's like sharded or something.
I'm
very confused.
Nothing about Zilliqa as a blockchain.
Okay.
I know Mintable was an NFT platform being built on Ethereum when I started getting into all this stuff. And then like they were just not on anybody's radar for the longest time. And then they came out of left field like, hey, we're about to launch the first NFT platform on Zilliqa. And I was like, yes, please. Let me put my NFTs in more places.
Oh, wow, that's clever. That's really clever. Huh.
Yeah, and I just spammed the ad everyone in my Discord, like, hey, if you got some art that you haven't published and you want to help win this $1,000 prize, and like, I'll give you your share of this $1,000 prize. And I'm not going to take a commission if your shit sells. Like, I'm sending all that money right to you. Like, just send it to me, I'll mint it. You know, it costs like nothing for gas. Like, half a penny maybe. And that guy Omnimyth, like I've seen a lot of his work and I think it's incredible. And I was like, he sent me something, I was like, well, how much what's the price in U.S. dollars? Because, like, that's how you price it on there. And then they match the actual Zilliqa to it, like, however much Zilliqa costs and, like, however much you want for USD. And it was like, I don't know, man, I've sold one piece for $10 ever. And I was like, what? How? Dude, that's nonsense. Like, and it's like kind of refueled the fuck you super rare. Hopefully they're not listening to the podcast, but I'm fairly certain they do not like me and will not listen to it. So probably not a concern. But I was like, yo,
say listen to it, then,
I'm putting a $40 price tag on it. And like that sold that day.
Yeah.
And like, it like made his entire day. And like, that felt amazing. You know, like I didn't make any money off that. I got to help somebody out, you know? And like, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. Very cool. I actually love that. All of these different platforms are like branching out and exploring all the crevices. Like, I think that's what's beautiful. I mean, I can't predict the future of what will happen with Super Rare. And to be honest, I don't know all the backstory nearly as well as you. But I feel if there are enough projects like this thing on Zilliqa and, you know, everywhere else, all just spawning up and being supportive to people, like it's inevitable that Super Rare will sort of lose their dominance. I don't know. I hope. I might be very wrong.
I think it'll take a while because like they're established as like the place to go. You know what I mean? So like they have the best SEO, they have the best traffic ranking, etc. And like they're going to be at the top of Google because most of the people building in this space right now are like new to doing this stuff. You know, like we're not marketers. We're a bunch of internet nerds with big old dreams, and 90% of us. I mean, I'm a little like outside of the norm on that because like my way into this space was I was building a business on the internet and doing everything myself. So instead I didn't have a budget to hire anybody. So it's like, well, I got to learn everything. So like I learned web design with no code tools. Like I learned SEO. I learned social media marketing, like customer management, relationship management, like all that crap. Like, and so like I can see like where like that's the issue with a lot of these platforms. There's this one project, I think it's just called East.Pictures. Maybe it's East.Drawings. Mm-hmm. But it's basically Microsoft Paint in like a web browser. And then it's got Web3 functionality. Like it's on its own smart contract. Like you draw your doodle or whatever, and then you mint it as an NFT. And I think that's really cool. Like you've probably never heard of it. 90% of everybody in the space has probably never heard of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I guess
marketing, like,
yeah. Yeah. I think it's the same for wildcards, to be honest. I mean, I don't think we're terrible at marketing. I think a lot of people do know about wildcards, but you know, we just have to, yeah. I mean, we need everyone to know about, like, let's say only 1% of people would buy a wildcard. You know, if 100 people know about us, that's one person buying it. But if 100,000 people know about us, then, you know, we start talking. So right. I think you're totally right.
Yeah, I think that's a problem with a lot of projects in the States. But, like, I don't have time to do my own thing. So I can't be like, hey, let me fix your SEO and run some Facebook and Google. And that's a problem, too. I think. Like, I don't use Facebook at all anymore, ever. But, like, that's the biggest place to get eyes on your shit on the internet right now for Facebook and Instagram. If you want eyes on your shit, that's where you put it. And I don't use either of them because they're both owned by friggin' Zuckerberg and he can get zucked. Like,
well, Wildcards joined Instagram, I think exactly a week ago. I'm actually super proud of our Instagram page. It looks really nice. We've got, a new conservationist who's helping us, which is, I mean, it's amazing. She actually knows what she's talking about with animals, and she posts interesting facts and interesting stories about our partners. So, yeah, if anyone's listening, go check out wildcards_world. on Instagram. Some self-promotion there.
Yeah, self-promote all you want. You guys have an awesome project. If I didn't want people to hear about it for the 8 people that is my estimated audience for this podcast, I wouldn't know you're not talking about it. But now, like, I'm the third person to join the exclusive Whale Whales Club. And, like, I guess people, like, Nifty Pride, like, it's got legs. Because, like, it's similar to Wild Cards. Like, it's for a cause. It's not, oh, here's how I can make a bunch of money off the NFT craze. It's here's how I can leverage that, like, attention that the whole space is getting right now in blockchain. Like, the 4 main blockchain publications just started talking about it, like Cointelegraph, CoinDesk, etc. Like, they're talking a lot about NFTs lately. William Shatner just did an NFT collectible card series on Wax.
And repeat that. He did a what?
Shatner packs. It's cards. Okay. Pictures of William Shatner doing stuff in his life, or from Star Trek.
A what? That's interesting.
It sold out in like 2 hours.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah.
Like, there's just an article. I didn't read it. I saw the headline. And I saw the headline and the publication it was from enough to know that, like, that matters. So Coca-Cola is looking into Ethereum smart contracts for supply chain issues. And that was published in Bloomberg Business Week. So, like, we're all too deep in this rabbit hole to have any idea what's going on in the mainstream. But, like, we're pushing for it real quick.
Yeah. I mean, that's the amazing thing. So, like, what got me hooked on Ethereum is that it's general purpose, right? You can use the same system for many, many different use cases. And like, it's still so early for industry to really start using it. Like, people like me need to build more to get it ready. But for sure, it's going to take the world by storm. I'm 100% sure of that.
Yeah, and DeFi is going crazy right now. Like, I wish I would have not just ignored the hype as, like, that's a rabbit hole I don't need to go down right now. I mean, I probably could have made a whole bunch of money. And that's really not my focus.
You could have lost a whole bunch of money, too.
I'm very well acclimated to not having money, you know what I mean? Like, if I can pay my bills and feed myself and my dog and do it by doing something I'm passionate about and that I feel like I'm making a positive impact on somebody's life, like, that's amazing. That means way more to me than getting rich off something I hate or don't enjoy at the very least.
No, for sure. I think that's the
DeFi
thing.
DeFi is simple. It's just like, you know that crypto that's sitting in your wallet that you're not using? Let us hold on to it for you, and we'll give you back way more. Like, oh, should have been doing that.
I do think there will be something. Something will happen, and a lot of people will lose a lot of money. That's always how it works. So, yeah, like, that's a disclaimer for anyone who wants to put all of their life savings in DeFi. Like, put a lot, but not that much. if you lose it, you know, you need to be okay. But that's the thing that I think
2 weeks ago was 1 ETH. And then I put some liquidity in the whale pool and was active in the community. And now I have like $3,000 in my crypto wallet.
Yeah.
70% of that is whale. So, and that's insane. And it's not going to stop.
So, I mean,
because like the community, like there's no room for pump and dumps. Like, 95% of the liquidity is owned by people that are 100% bullish on it and have been since day one. And like, we're a part of the community and we're a part of the NFT world. And like, we see the potential. And like, we see that there's like a lot of people, oh, it's a fucking exit scam. Like, this guy's just trying to make a bunch more money. It's like, no, he's not. Like, I'm not going to argue with you because everybody's got their own feelings. And like, a lot of people feel some kind of way about him, I guess. You know, like, I don't see why. if you listen to him talk on the podcast he's been on, and like, he's made himself way more publicly accessible for us, like the community that he's trying to create. You know, he's not trying to do it about him. He's trying to bring us all together so we can all benefit from each other's networking and shit.
Yeah. So I think that's amazing. And I think that's the side of crypto that excites me more than DeFi, which is just about numbers and making money. But at the same time, I think in terms of doing business and startups and stuff, you know, maybe DeFi is the one of the places that's going to grow fastest, because you know, people like everywhere care about making money. So if you can make it easy for people to make money, you've basically got a product that can explode. And I think that's why DeFi is only getting started. It will explode much more than what we've seen. I'm pretty sure of that. The question is, will there be a hack? Will there be a this? Like, you know, that stuff is, yeah, there'll be something extreme that people will talk about in 5 years that'll happen in the next 3 years. That's my opinion. Something big that'll shake everything up. And then it'll be a new cycle building up again. So really exciting. But that's the thing that, like, with wildcards, I need to really think about, like, how do we get people to really participate? I think that's the cool thing about Harbinger Tax. You can make a profit off it. We're not very explicit with that, and like, we don't want that to be the focus. But yeah, I don't know. Like, can you successfully build a big product without something back to people that, yeah, I mean, that really is super valuable to them? Is the good feeling in your heart of giving to wildlife enough people for wildcards to be successful? That's something that I really challenge myself with, and that's why I'm focusing so hard on thinking of new mechanisms to basically get people to come into wildcards for more reasons. You know, we have to create more reasons, fun or they learn something new and sting, or they meet friends there who care about the same thing. Like, whatever the reason, we need to create that. Yeah, I feel like I'm going on tangents.
That's fine. I do too. I'm not offended. I think just do a lot of yelling at Twitter. It's just mm-hmm. good exposure. Like, whether or not like people give a shit, you know, like they see it, and then like your name's in their mind and it might come up. I would maybe say like issue an ERC-20 token, even if it's friggin' worthless. You know what I mean? Like, create something that people can buy with it. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be like, oh, well, let's try and get this coin to pump to a dollar. You know, like, it's, oh, if I collect enough of this, I can get this, and that's the only way I can get it. Like, that gives it that value. You know what I mean?
No, okay, that's 100% been on my mind for many months. It just takes time to build it, to be honest. But we've had, you know, everyone talks about liquidity mining or whatever. What's it? Farming. That's what they call it. Yield farming. So Wildcards has been doing yield farming since before it was cool. And I'm really happy to say this. I can show you the contract that's been deployed, I think, 4 months ago now, or maybe 5 months even. And basically, you earn one loyalty token for every day that you hold a wildcard. So the only way to earn these loyalty tokens is to hold wildcards. Or no, you can buy them, right? Like, anyone can. I mean, they're ERC-20 tokens, but the new supply is only given to wildcards holders, which is really cool. And then, you know, you know, the use we have for these tokens at the moment is voting for. I don't know if you saw the dragon that we have on our website. So for everyone listening, we've got one mythical creature. We've got more mythical creatures coming very soon. Hopefully in the next couple of weeks. No exact dates. But those don't generate money for a specific organization. They generate money for a pool. And the organization with the most votes gets that money. So yeah, that's currently the use case, but you're right. We should really branch out, like use this token for incentivizing as many things as
possible. Yeah, I mean, unlike just a like brain vomit idea, like you're going, I mean, Mintbase is probably like my go-to platform for NFTs right now. They're probably also like the least appreciated, but like they're, I think, a two-person team doing everything. And like, so InfinFT, which was made by the people who made Avastars, who are like just making bank just off Avastars. So like another, they're like, oh, we got this NFT platform, you know, like you can upload videos, etc., and like it's all stored permanently on chain on Arweave. And like that gave Arweave visibility. But like while they're in like private alpha for testing and shit, Mintbase is just quietly like, oh yeah, we integrated Arweave. You can tokenize videos, music, PDFs, etc. Like, and it's all on chain all the time. And you own your contract and you have full control over it. It's like, as an example, like you could set up a contract on Mintbase and then like you could get the loyalty tokens listed as a currency on OpenSea. I think that costs like $4 and more time than you would like that it's going to take them to get to it, because I can't even believe how busy they are right now. They have like the whole NFT world on the platform and like.
Okay, that's interesting. So I'm just thinking when someone lists an artwork, they choose which token to sell it with on OpenSea. Am I understanding correctly?
On OpenSea, if you own an NFT smart contract from any platform on Ethereum, as far as I'm aware, like I have two contracts through Rarible, one for ERC-721s and one for ERC-1155s. And then I have a Mint-based contract and I have a contract that I launched through OpenSea. And so like, because that's my storefront, technically, it's basically my dApp, quote unquote, I can decide what currency is accepted for items from that contract.
Okay, and then I see.
That also applies to secondary sales too. So like, if you own some of my artwork and you want some Goose Coins, which is my synthetic labor token, like you can hire me in their whatever they're worth at the time in US dollars. Like that's how much you can spend to get that work from me, but I'll probably charge you less because me having them and you buying them increases their value that I get out of them when I burn them. So, which is a really cool concept. I got to chill that more, but I'm so sick of shilling myself all the time for no benefit really.
Well, benefit, you people know about, it's all the same things that you're telling me I should do.
Yeah, just I hate marketing. I spent way too long learning it and like seeing just how like shitty it is, you know what I mean, just from like a like how you treat people perspective. So I mean, I'm not doing it that way, but like when COVID started, like I don't think it took till the end of January before my email inbox was full of, here's how you can use the global crisis or the, like, the fear of the pandemic to, like, leverage for your marketing. And it's like, that's fucking horrible. Like, people are garbage. I'm so glad I did not get more into regular old marketing. I mean, NFT marketing is totally different. It's like, hey, here's this art I did. If you don't like it, don't buy it. Whatever. And, like, and now with Nifty Pride, it's like, we're going to do a bunch more cool events in Crypto Voxels where, like, there's a massive community building around, like, I want to be at all the events just because, like, it's an awesome experience. And, like, people are doing different shit all the time. Like, it gives them a reason to go explore more of what people have built. And And it's all so new, but like it's already so friggin' overwhelming.
Yeah, no, totally. Actually, a quick question. I saw you in the call about Panvala a little while ago.
Yeah, I've been meaning to look more into that.
Panvala, I find so interesting. Firstly, you should try and get somehow. I don't know exactly how, but you should try and get Panvala matching various activities you do in for NFT Pride, right? So the whole idea is that people donate PAN tokens to your project and that gets matched by the inflation, right? So in the last Gitcoin, I think the average match was 5x from Panvala. So if I gave one Panvala token, or let's dollars, so it's just easier. Let's say I gave $1, then $5 were matched Panvala token. So it won't last like that forever, but it's quite amazing. And the whole philosophy of Panvala tokens is that they are scarce, so there's limited supply of them. And these tokens have a specific use case, which is to fund communities, right? So the more communities that use Panvala, the more valuable Panvala becomes. So let's say it's just Wildcards using Panvala, right? Wildcards is a small project with its own economy, and you know, the market cap of Panvala can't be that high if only Wildcards uses it. But as soon as thousands of communities are all using this coin, the value of Panvala itself will go up, and that'll cause more communities to want to use it because they can see that it's getting traction and it actually works. And I think, you know, that's what we need to think for Wildcards. How do we get these loyalty tokens to be something that people really want and sort of use outside of their current use? And the more that happens, actually become valuable. Such a simple thing, but very powerful, you know. If you want your coin to be valuable, get people to use it. That's how it is.
Right. Yeah. My personal token through Roll Feathers, like I've had, I think one person bought some of my art for it. So, and it was barely even art. It was like I Photoshopped, for lack of a better word, because it wasn't Photoshop, but like I added some neat little artsy effects and some cool color change animation to a screenshot of a tweet from J.K. Rowling that said, this is getting ridiculous. It should be obvious by now they're not joining the Bitcoin community. I've been trolling Bitcoin in the hopes of increasing my significant Ethereum holdings. So along those lines. And I thought that was hilarious. And I was like, I'm going to tokenize that because I can. supposed to be the beginning of my non-fungible Twitter series, where my plan was like every week I'm going to scour the best of the best of crypto Twitter and make an NFT out of something. And I think I made two of them out of the whole JK Rowling doesn't know cryptocurrency debate. And I did JK trolling for the one you saw. It was a
yeah, of course.
Not very family friendly.
Thanks so much for the chat. I'm probably gonna soon. But honestly, it's been super interesting. I didn't know what to expect when I came on. I've learned as much from you as I've hopefully been able to teach anyone else listening. So I'm very thankful.
Yeah, the whole idea for the podcast is like these are projects I've seen and like I would like to talk to these people. Like, I feel like, I mean, yeah, you can have a great conversation through Telegram or Discord or whatever, but like when you get somebody on a call and like let them talk about why they're doing what they're doing because they're passionate about it, like it's so much more organic and like gives way to like so much more like, oh, there's this thing too. Like, you know, when you're typing, you take that second to double check yourself when you're talking, and you're passionate about something, you just say whatever's coming to mind.
Yeah, amazing. Cool, Bruce. I'll check you on the digital world, hey? In the metaverse.
Yeah, I'm gonna put you in touch with the Grow Your Base team. I think that could be really helpful for exposure for wildcards as well.
Sorry, which team?
Grow Your Base.
Grow Your Base. Okay. I don't know them. That sounds super interesting.
You like do micro tasks like follow this person on Twitter, retweet this tweet, etc. Sign up for this website, shit like that, and earn Grow Your Base points. And then you can use those Grow Your Base points to buy NFTs from those projects.
Oh, interesting. Okay, read more about this.
yeah, I'll send you a link to it.
Awesome. Thanks so much. And enjoy the rest of your day.
I will mention you to them because I bet they'd be happy. Like, I have my art on there. I did a campaign for like my art itself. I just like reached out like, hey, can I put my art on your website? Then they did a campaign with me for Nifty Pride too. So, and it cost me literally nothing except the gas to mint and send a few NFTs and the time to create them.
Okay, very interesting. Yeah, no, I love that there's so much new stuff every day. It's like you if the thing that'll help your project be super successful is just around the corner. So I hope these guys can increase engagement or whatever else they're working on. That's awesome.
They sent me the stats pages for my two campaigns, and like in the course of a couple months they've both gotten like 12,000-15,000 engagements. I've not gotten very many sales based on it, but still, like, it's got my name out there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's appreciated.
For the rest of forever, I can be like, I was the second ever independent artist with the Grow Your Base feature. Like, pick that Elon Musk who's halfway down the page below me with his SpaceX investment tokens.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, I'll definitely mention your project to them. So I bet they would be happy to get it on there. So they have a paid like rewards plan and shit. So like they're making money, but they're not going to charge you anything.
Cool. No, that would be amazing. So much. Cool. I don't know how this thing works. If I just click the leave, sorry to be abrupt.
Oh, yeah, no problem. I'll just, an hour past my regular hour anyway.
Okay, cool, man. Yeah, cool, man. Thanks a lot.
Definitely good talking. Bye. Thanks for coming on.
Awesome. It's my absolute pleasure. Cheers, guys.
Peace out, buddy.